Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York Giants. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 106. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We're going to get right back to your calls. I'm not going to do a whole segment on it, but I got to hear it. I'm sorry. It's one of the, you know, I want to react to this stuff right after the game. Todd Bowles, we all know very well from his time with the Jets, kind of mild-mannered. He has been doing a pretty good job in Tampa Bay. They've been a playoff team. They've obviously resurrected the career of Baker Mayfield. That team has been, a perennial postseason team. They were 6-2 to start the year, and now they are looking up at the moment because Carolina still has to play, but they're playing the Saints this week come Sunday. They are looking up at the Saints in this division, looking up at the Panthers in this division, which is crazy. And they have lost, five of, I just had their team up there. Hold on. Now I'm looking at the Jets. The Bucs have lost 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5 of 6. They've lost 5 of their last 6. Now, some of them are tough games, right? They lost to the Patriots. They lost in Buffalo. They lost at the Rams. But the last 2 weeks, they've lost to the Saints and the Falcons. And in this game, as Marco was saying, they're up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They give up 15 unanswered, including a 3rd and 28 and a 4th and 14. They stop both 2-point conversions and still get beat on a last second field goal to a dead Atlanta team. That is tough. And, you know, I've been saying over and over again that the Giants head coaching job will be the best head coaching job available no matter what happens. I would think this Bucs job would be the second most if they move on from Todd Bowles here, but you just heard one clip. I want to hear the whole thing because I don't know if I've ever heard Todd Bowles like this. So this was Todd Bowles after Thursday Night Football. Again, they lose 29-28. They give up 15 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to get beat by 1 point to the Atlanta Falcons, who have been dreadful this year outside of one win against Buffalo, have been really bad this year. Right? Just lost to the Jets. Really bad, poorly coached. He might be fired as well. Raheem Morris. So, like, that's a brutal loss. And this was Todd Bowles after the game.
It's inexcusable. You don't make excuses. You got to care enough where the hurts. You got to care enough where the hurts. It got to mean something to you. It's more than a job. It's your livelihood. How well do you know your job? How well can you do your job? Well, you can't sugarcoat that shit. It was in the inexcusable, and there's no answer for it. There's no excuse for it. That's what you tell him in the locker room. Look in the mirror.
Wow. He sounded like Mike Kafka. Cursing all that. But that was behind closed doors. I know the HBO cameras are rolling, but geez. Man, I have never heard him like that. That's awesome. That is awesome. Man, that was incredible. He just absolutely took it. We talk about no accountability. He's holding his team accountable there. Let's see if it turns it around, because, man, did he just introduce accountability to the situation. And we know that's all that takes to win. As long as you hold people accountable, you're destined to win. My goodness. How many times in a row did he say the same thing? Play it one more time. I want to hear the beginning of that one more time. Sorry, Alex.
It's inexcusable. You don't make excuses. You got to care enough where the hurts. You got to care enough where the hurts. It got to mean something to you. It's more than a job. It's your livelihood. How well do you know your job? How well can you do your job? Well, you can't sugarcoat that shit. It was in the inexcusable, and there's no answer for it. There's no excuse for it. That's what you tell them in the locker room.
I mean,
mirror.
You gotta bleep and care enough where the blank hurts. You gotta bleep and care enough where the blank hurts. He said it like twice, and then he gave you the you got a blank and like a third straight time. Like, he is calling out his team. My goodness. And you know what? Back-to-back losses to the Saints and Falcons will do it at home, nonetheless. At home. And now they're set up next week against in Carolina for the biggest game of the year. They play, this is actually going to be a fun division. They, unless Carolina, you know, runs with it. They play Carolina twice in the last 3 weeks. They play at Carolina, then they follow that up at Miami, and then they come back home the last game of the year to take on the Panthers. That last game of the year could be fun. And the Panthers have been good, man. The Panthers, they're a fun little, they've really obviously started to really establish their run game. And whatever you want to say about Young, and he still has games where he just looks awful at times. By no means has he established himself as, you know, a warranted of a first overall pick by far, like not even close to that. But even as a regular feel good about him starting every week quarterback, I don't even know if he's done that necessarily. He's made leaps and bounds because he was so awful when he started. But I still don't know if I view him as like a guaranteed franchise starter for the next however many years, even if it's not over, like that good. It's not like even if you don't view him as a Super Bowl kind of caliber quarterback, I don't even know if you view him as a starter year in and year out. But he has, since he's entered the league, he has more fourth quarter comeback wins than any quarterback in the NFL. And that's for the Carolina Panthers. He's not the 49ers quarterback. He's not the Rams quarterback. He's not the Lions quarterback. Like, he's been with the Carolina Panthers. And part of the reason they're the Panthers is his play, especially the first 2 years of his career. But, man, they got a chance to steal this division. Crazy. And if Todd Bowles does get fired, if this does bottom out, I think they might. Now, he's made the playoffs a couple years in a row, and he's had to deal with some injuries, right? And now even Baker Mayfield is dealing with a non-throwing shoulder injury. But they got their stars back. They got Godwin back in this game. He scored a touchdown. They got their star wide receivers back in this game. They got Evans back in this game. McMillan back in this game. Bucky Irving, who they've been dealing with injuries, he was back in this game. He was back last week, but he's back in this game, obviously, as well. He missed a handful of weeks. So they were in full effect. They had their running back back. They have their entire wide receiver complement back. And they still lose with a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Atlanta Falcons? That is a brutal loss. At home? That's why you get Todd Bowles. Cursing, that was awesome. That was so cold-blooded and he's not even yelling. It's one thing if he starts yelling. He is just pissed. He is just pissed and quietly, monotonely, just ripping apart his team, calling them gutless. That was awesome. Good for you, Todd Bowles. Good for you. 888-808-1019. We'll get more into the football, go around the league, we'll do the picks. either in the 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock hour. We'll get into the Jets and Giants. The Jets, you know, throwing out Brady Cook. And for me, what do you want from the Giants? One, Mike Kafka embarrassed himself with that video of his attempted, you know, pick-me-up speech or rah-rah speech that he gave during the Hard Knocks HBO show, which was, I felt bad for him. I don't think it actually hit. We'll see if they can actually show up and beat a Washington team that even when they've been at their worst over the last handful of years, they find a way to beat Washington. But do I want them to? And they put us in that position again, these bums. 888-808-1019. But a lot of baseball to start the show. Let's we can go talk football or baseball here. Ryan in Kent, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
First, I want to say congratulations, man. Can't wait to listen to you at
Thank
work.
Thank you very much.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. You got me everywhere, but I mainly called about what was your thought on the Jets and what they were going to potentially do with maybe the quarterback from the Falcons, Kirk Cousins. I heard Evan talking about it earlier today, and do you think that's a possibility?
I forgot, Well, I mean, not Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a possibility, no. We can get to the Jets and Joe Burrow conversation. I forgot to mention that. This is really pretty much just based off the idea that he's been so injury prone and maybe they would want to get rid of him. And then, of course, he did this. He met the media either yesterday or the day before, and he was, melancholy, for lack of a better word. Like, he was just down. He was talking. Maybe we'll play some of those clips as well from Joe Burrow. I can give you my quick thought on it. We can talk more about it later. But Joe Burrow, and we'll play the clips a little bit later on. I'll get back to the calls. Joe Burrow had a press conference and talked to the media and made it seem like his passion for football is waning. And we've seen that before. We've seen that, obviously, you know, Andrew Luck retired because he was tired of rehabbing. Right, I think Derek Jeter, again, he was at the end of his career more than Joe Burrow was clearly, you know, in his prime. But Derek Jeter, I think that ankle injury, I think Derek Jeter would have played longer. I think you would have had to rip the jersey off of Derek Jeter, but he had those ankle issues and spent a year and a half of doing nothing but rehabbing without playing. That gets on you. And Joe Burrow has been injured consistently year in and year out over the last couple, and he comes back just in time to maybe win some games on a dead team and not go anywhere. So I could get why he's like that. And we're going to do on the other side, because I feel like we did the segment on Tampa Bay. I don't want to take calls for too long. Next segment, we'll play it, and I'll give you my thoughts on the idea of the Jets, not only with Joe Burrow, but adding a veteran quarterback instead of drafting one in this upcoming draft. 888-808-1019. Teddy in Yonkers. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, CM. Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you very much.
Remember, you're the star of the Fan. Don't let Chris Carlin take it over. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Chris Carlin?
I mean,
Craig Carton.
Craig Carton. I apologize.
That's okay. No problem. You got me scared for a second.
Yeah, okay.
What's Chris doing?
Okay. CM, I want to make a few points.
Yeah.
Number one, dealing with the Tampa Bay game, that old adage, on any given day, a professional team can beat another professional team
sure.
in any sport. Okay? That's so, you know, what
doesn't make it there? Acceptable, though. Doesn't make it a good performance for Tampa
I agree.
Bay.
I agree with you, totally.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Sure.
Number two, in the very beginning, you said the thing about we need Bellinger. You know, I agree with you. But if my friend, who is a big Met fan, the Yankees are not going to give him 6 years. Days of all these long-term contracts, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, so I agree.
And I'd rather say, okay.
The question is, who will? And if not, will it come back to the Yankees? And does he want to be... You know, is he willing to take the 5-year deal with the Yankees? I agree with you. I think they want to give him 5. I think they might go 6. They're certainly not going 7.
Would they get, will they give him five, though, the Yankees?
I think they would, yes.
Okay.
I think that's the report is they're stuck on five. The report is that they're offering five.
Now, what do you do about Dominguez and Jones? Jones is not ready yet. But what are you going to do about Dominguez?
It depends. If they sign Bellinger, I trade him.
You would trade him, okay.
Absolutely, I would, yeah. I'm looking to trade both of them, to be honest with you. I would trade both of them. Right now, we'll get into the Yankees in a little bit, but they're in. Apparently, they're in on Freddie Peralta. I think that's what the Yankees are going to do. I've talked about this a lot. Like, I wish I had more interesting stuff to give you about the Yankees. The Jazz Chisholm, and we'll get to it, has kind of opened the door to some different things. If they're really, and I doubt they're shopping him, and you heard the comments from Brian Cashman about him, which is pretty much they believe he's part of the solution, not the problem. He's had a great year. He steals bases. He hits for power. He's been a very good, without question, whatever you want to say about what you think about him in the future, and that's really the question. The question is, do you view Jazz as a player to give a 5 or 6 year contract to at the end of this season? And I could see giving it to him, and I could see not giving it to him. And I think this year and how he plays if he's with the Yankees would really tell me how I feel about it. He has mental lapses sometimes on the base path and at second base. Not a ton. I know that some of them are pronounced, and with the Yankees, and I know this is going to come off as the Yankee shill because there's a lot of them, but the noise around them became so loud because there was a lot of them. Not necessarily by Jazz, though, but because the noise around them became so loud, every time it happens, it became a big deal. And I'm not saying it's not a big deal because he has them. He didn't make the play in the playoff game that you have to make. I mean, that's a physical error, but you have to make it. He's made mental errors a little bit, and he can strike out a lot. And get into strikeout mode, and that's what he's done in both postseasons. So he's not the perfect player, and if the Yankees don't view him as a long-term option, I think trading him is absolutely up for the table. But the Yankees, to me, it's quite easy. They are going to try to sign Bellinger. I don't think they would give him seven. I don't think they want to give him six. I think they'll clearly give him five. Maybe they'd be willing to go six. But I think they clearly want to spend the money on Bellinger. Outside of that, I don't think there's another player they want to spend money on. They're not going to go get Tucker. They're not going to go get Bregman. They're not going to go get Bichette. They're not going to spend money and put a fourth starter in this rotation with a significant contract. I don't see it. Even if they miss out on Bellinger, I don't think there's money diverted to somebody else. I think Bellinger is the only player they will pay. And if they don't pay him and he leaves to go somewhere else where someone gave him seven or he just left and, you know, took more money or just left, whatever the case may be, I think they will pivot to either Spencer Jones and Dominguez and left and platoon them with someone or trade them, trade for an outfielder, Brendan Donovan, trade for Kwan, trade for someone we're not even thinking of. Like, I would think they would go the trade market over the free agency market in the outfield. And then same thing with the pitcher. They're going to look to trade for a starting pitcher. Freddie Peralta being the top of it. David Peterson-ish being the bottom of it. But I think that's the Yankee offseason. A left fielder, right-handed bench bats, including a backup catcher who's right-handed. Some bullpen arms that aren't that intriguing or exciting or big-named or high-priced. And then impacting the rotation through the trade market and impacting left field through the trade market if they can't sign Bellinger. Like, I think it's that simple. I wish I had more interesting things and they could do this and they could do that. I really don't see it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 131. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. A lot of baseball, and you guys keep calling, so I'll get back to the... We'll do the calls here. We will eventually do Joe Burrow and transition to football a little bit. We got plenty of time all the way till 5 a.m., on this Football Friday. We'll do the picks as well on an interesting week in the NFL with some interesting games. That, again, how top, and I'll talk about this, it's going to be a theme of my picks. How topsy-turvy the NFL is right now is crazy. Because if you look at it, tell me this isn't like a perfect example why the NFL right now is just absolutely bonkers. There are two teams in the NFL right now who have won, who are currently on 10-game winning streaks. The New England Patriots at 11-2 have won 10 games in a row. The Denver Broncos at 11-2 have won 10 games in a row, right? Those two teams, currently the division leaders in the AFC East, division leaders in the AFC West. They have each won 10 games in a row. They are both teams that have won 10 games in a row this Sunday will be home dogs. How crazy is that? How crazy is it that the two best teams in the league with the best record on 10-game winning streaks are both home and both underdogs? The Patriots are at home against the Bills. The Bills are, as of right now, depending on which book you look at, 2 or 1.5 point favorites against the Patriots in New England. And the Broncos are home against the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers on the road are a 2.5 point favorite against the Broncos. That's how weird this NFL season is. A dominant, two dominant football teams that haven't lost in 10 games are home dogs. You watch what happened last night. You look at what's going on with Kansas City and Baltimore and Philadelphia. This is a weird NFL season. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though. Rich in South Orange. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for... Chris.
Oh, Rich. I haven't heard someone do it in a while. You just did one of my... It's okay. Not at all. I there's no reason to apologize. I love it. I've been doing, and we'll talk about it, I guess, a little bit coming up about, you know, me taking a new job. Like, I have been doing this for 18 years. And what, not hosting necessarily, but I've been at this station for 18 years, involved with WFN for 18 years. And one of the more, like, fun, weird things about sports radio is the callers, when you go to them, that say their own name. I don't know why it happens. I'm not sure why, but it happens, and I've always found it as one of the more puzzling things to understand. And I'm not trying to get on you, Rich. I hope you don't take it that way, because it's a mistake that has happened a ton in the 18 years I'm here. I just find it fascinating. It's very funny. So I appreciate. Yeah, I actually appreciate that.
Yeah, that's okay. No, thanks for taking the call.
Of course, thank you for making it.
I want to ask you a music question. I know you're a big Beatles fan like me.
Big Beatles guy.
Do you like Mick Jagger and the Stones?
That's funny. I had many an argument with my father about the Rolling Stones. I don't dislike the Rolling Stones, but like I love the Beatles, and I can think of about 35 bands and musical acts that I prefer to the Rolling Stones.
Okay, I was going to suggest to you and anyone that likes the Stones, Mick came out with the solo album in 2005, and the name of it is Goddess in the Doorway, and if you like Mick Jagger, it's a must.
Okay.
Now, I have a Yankee point to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard a caller on the afternoon suggest that the Yankees trade Hill, Dominguez, and Volpe for Lindor.
Yeah.
If I'm the Yankees, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat, too. I don't think the Mets would do it for Luis Hill, Dominguez, and Volpe. You know, it's funny because I actually, me and Evan, Evan brought me on to do the Rico last Sunday night, to do our annual Yankee-Mets trade, and this was one of the trades that came up. Because I feel like, not that this is all that interesting, but we do it every year, and without question, this was the toughest year I've ever had trying to come up with matches. Like, right now, the Yankees and Mets won, like, they don't, like, the Mets don't really have a lot of players right now. Like, they're... So like it was tough to come up with matches for a trade between the Yankees and Mets, like, because their needs just don't match. Like the obvious one, and I think he talked about this on the show as well, the idea of Vientos for Jason Dominguez. The Yankees could use a third baseman and power hitting right handed bat, and the Mets could use an outfielder. Like that one made sense, right? He could platoon with McMahon or play a lot of that, play some first base too, and platoon with Ben Rice. He could DH a little bit. Certainly if Stanton never goes down, which you know he's going to miss a month, that's just what Stanton does. So like Vientos makes sense, and Dominguez would be your everyday left fielder for the Mets. So it makes it that outside of that, there really isn't a lot of pieces that make sense. So I floated a Lindor trade idea to him. Would the Yankees take on that contract, and would the Mets really be looking to blow this thing up? And would that be enough? Like, he's a, whatever you want to think about him, Francisco Lindor is a premier player in this league. He's a premier shortstop. I mean, he's going to ask for Cam Schlittler. I have no doubt. And I didn't hear this segment, but I'm assuming that package wouldn't have been enough. I'm assuming he asked for, instead of Luis Hill, he's asking for Cam Schlittler.
He did.
Yeah, I mean that's you're gonna ask for the pitcher who was dominant in the postseason. That's who he's gonna ask for. And I doubt very much that he wants Anthony Volpe.
But he also said that.
Now to be fair, we had that conversation, so I know that's his inkling. I didn't hear the segment, but that's pretty much what he said when we went over it on the Rico. I mean, I would be open to it as a Yankee fan. Absolutely. I am looking to improve shortstop. And my number one frustration with Brian Cashman and the Yankees right now is that they are not. More than anything else. More than the inactivity. More than some of the misspends. More than some of the different things right now. That the number one issue I have with the New York Yankees at the moment is they seem more than comfortable. They seem happy to give the starting shortstop job to Anthony Volpe the second he's ready. I don't understand that. He hasn't earned that. He just hasn't earned it. Lorenzo in Queens. What's up, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I don't see Mac. A couple of quick Stearns takes. Number one, there's no way he's giving up any kind of trade assets, any kind of prospects for a one-year rental. That goes against everything that he's shown him with his principles about not. He doesn't go above a certain threshold for years and money. He's not going to give up any assets for a one-year rental. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about, you know, doing that at the top of the market, and that is Skubal. I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball. But I agree with you. Right now, it makes no sense. There's no way David Stearns believes that this team is good enough where they're even Skubal. They're not one player away at any position, even the greatest pitcher in the league. They're not good enough right now. It would make absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, and speaking on that, I think that ties into what Stearns is thinking. I think the length of the Soto contract, that probably gives them time for any kind of rebuild. It could be a quick one, like the Baby Bombers from 10 years ago.
Yeah, but why is he looking to rebuild?
Well, he's probably thinking that no matter what they do, they're still not going to beat the Dodgers anytime soon. Let the Dodgers fizzle out, and maybe 2-3 years from now, he probably told Cohen that, you know, they'll probably be better, you know, maybe win like the Miami Marlins from early 2000s, you know?
Yeah, I just hate that, Lorenzo. I hear you. I hate going into the season saying the Dodgers are too good anyway. I'm not going to bother. The Toronto Blue Jays were right there to beat them. The Toronto Blue Jays in both games 6 and 7 had them beat. Are you really going to act like you can't beat the Dodgers? Is that how we're all going to go into this thing? Just forgo trying because no one can stop the almighty Dodgers? It's just such a terrible, terrible mentality. I can't believe that. Avery in St. Louis. What's up, Avery?
Hey, C-Mac. It's been a while. Congrats on the promotion.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I called with, obviously I'm a Yankee fan, but I called with a Mets point, but I want to actually pivot a little bit because you're going into the Yankee conversation. So
yeah, it's fine.
I wanted to ask on the Jazz Chisholm point about his extension. If he goes into arbitration, do you think he's going to get to arbitration, or do you think they'd offer him a contract extension before then and avoid it altogether? Because personally, if it was up to me, I wouldn't extend him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't like how home run centric he became. And I know that's a hot take among people, whether or not you extend him. At the same time, who do you replace him with? He's got to play the year out, and you don't want to upset the guy because, you know, if you upset Jazz Chisholm, it comes back to you. So I don't know. What do you think on that?
I mean, he gave one bad interview. I mean, he's been the ultimate Yankee. Like he's talked about winning the championship. He loves being a Yankee. He was willing to go play third base, at least his first year. Now, when they didn't play him the first game against the Red Sox, he sulked and gave a bad, you know, post-game press conference or, you know, in front of his locker. Outside of that, like, he hasn't been a problem.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm being overly picky. Definitely like his attitude. I think if the Yankees do well, he does well. But if they don't do well, he's not really much of a supporter. But then again, I mean, he doesn't need to be that guy either. So I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you that he's not a supporter when they're not playing well. I don't know where you would get that from. When he was first traded, he had no problem going to play third base because he understood he was just traded and that he was willing to go do stuff to be a Yankee. He was a Marlin. He was chasing a championship. They asked him to play third. He thought it was an interesting, you know, fun thing. But then in this offseason, he was promised to be the second baseman. They told him, you're going to be the second baseman. And then he was annoyed that they moved him to third, whether annoyed or whatever, but it just didn't work, and they eventually moved him back. Now, as far as your point, like, you don't have to extend him this year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you can, like you said, it's either go to arbitration or extend them. You don't have to, you can go to... Those aren't the only two options. You can give them a 1 year deal. You could say, all right, let's forget arbitration and I'll give you 1 year. That's how it usually goes. You can come to an agreement on a contract and not fight over the money in arbitration. Because he's locked in. He can't go anywhere. It's not like he can refuse to play or leave or something gets triggered and he becomes a free agent if you don't come to a contract. It's going to go to arbitration and there's going to be an arbiter and Jazz will ask for a salary, and the Yankees will think what they should pay him, and the arbiter will decide who's right. That's how arbitration works. Or you can come up with a one-year contract and forego arbitration, which teams like to do because you don't want to badmouth your player in front of him, and that's what you have to do to try and sell the reason why you should be paying less than he wants. I remember it went really poorly one time with Dylan Betances, who was very upset. Because they pretty much needed him as a swing man and didn't allow him to close even when there were some injuries. And then they used saves against him in the argument in arbitration. He was like, wait a minute. I'm doing everything you asked me to do. You told me you need me in the eighth and seventh inning and I could do multiple innings. And there was another guy who wasn't as good as me, but he had more history as a closer. So you put him there and then you're going to argue saves with me? You're going to go to the arbiter and say, well, he doesn't have any saves, so we're not going to pay him? So it gets ugly sometimes, but you don't have to give him an extension. You could just come to a contract. And the estimated, as of right now, you go to SpotTrack, they have the estimated number for his salary this year at 11.7. They estimate that his arbitration number will be somewhere near $11.7 million. And there is parameters. So that's not just a random guess. It has to be, that's probably somewhere around the window. Considering his previous numbers and all those, it's final year of arbitration, his numbers last year, the numbers got better from the year before, whatever. Like that's a good guess at 11.7. So it's somewhere around there. So the question isn't whether you're going to extend him right now. The question is, will you extend him at the end of the year? Will you give him the 5-year contract at the end of this season? And I don't know how the Yankees view it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm open to it. I also, right, if they had to do it right now, I would say no. Because of the reasons you said. Because he strikes out too much. He hasn't been a good postseason performer. He does have mental lapses. They have a lot of left-handed power bats who strike out. If they were a lot right-handed, I'd be more open to it. Like, there's a lot of players like him on the team, although his speed combination is and power combination, 30-30 is nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good. Obviously, but if he goes out and has if he has a great year and puts out another 30, say Jazz goes out, hits 270, has another 30-30 season, plays excellent defense at second base, you're going to tell me the Yankees can't re-sign him? I don't know. Let's go to Joe in Chicago. What's up, Joe?
I'm good. Hey, Chris, wanted to tell you two things, 2 points. Number one, For your new show, your upcoming show at 2, are you going to keep the opening song that you used to have? And number 2 is about Kyle Tucker. Why do you think it's not a good idea to go after him for the Yankees?
Well, I think it is. I just don't think they will. And maybe I didn't make that clear. I'm not even talking about it because I don't think they will do it. I could yell, and I have. I've gone over the Bellinger versus him, and I could do it again. First off, let me just answer your first question. No. The Mac, the normal Mac is back open is my solo show. We'll get into this in a little bit. I am keeping the Saturday show, so I can still do it on Saturdays. But no, when it's me and Craig, that's a different show. We're gonna have a different open. I'm not gonna sing the open. Mac is back. It's a different thing. But maybe I will keep it on Saturdays. And then as far as Kyle Tucker, I've went over this before. For most of, up until Grisham took the qualifying offer, I preferred Cody Bellinger. Preferred. If you give me my choice of either, I'd prefer Cody Bellinger. And a lot of Yankee fans were hitting me up saying, you're crazy, I don't understand, he's not as good a player. He's, you know, I didn't want to bring back Grisham for $22 million. I didn't. So I needed someone who could play center field. And I like his defensive flexibility. I like what he brought to the team last year. I think he wants to be a Yankee. I think he's proven he can play here for all those reasons. The ability to play first base on days where maybe, you know, Ben Rice is catching. If Austin Wells continues to go downwards offensively and they want to catch Ben Rice a little bit more, if that becomes a thing again, you can have him to play first. Like, I just thought Bellinger fit the team better because they needed a center fielder and he could play center field. But I'll be honest, I changed when Grisham signed and took the qualifying offer for a year and center field got solidified. That's when I said, you know what, just go get Tucker. He is younger. He is better offensively. He's the better player. Go get the better player. You no longer need the fit as much. But the reason I don't yell about it and the reason I don't talk, should they be all over Kyle Tucker? Absolutely. They should be all over Bo Bichette. They should sign Bo Bichette. They need right-handed bat. He's a 300 hitter. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out. He's got some pop. You can play him one more year at shortstop and then get rid of McCann next year and move him over to third, or get rid of not retain Jazz and move him to second. Like, I would sign Bo Bichette. But I can't sit here every night or every morning and bring up, you should be signing Bo. I can do it. Okay. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. I can only talk about what's plausible. And what's plausible right now is trading for a starting pitcher. And maybe it's as high a good starting pitcher as a Freddie Peralta. And then signing Bellinger or bringing in another outfielder via trade. And I like Brendan Donovan. And I like Stephen Kwan. Those would be good, suitable answers if Bellinger leaves. But I just don't think they're going to sign Bo Bichette. They should. The Yankees absolutely should bring in Bo Bichette, play him 1 year at shortstop, and then move him to either second or third next year. 100% that's what they should do. And then by then, hopefully, we'll see, I don't know, but then Lombard, the big-time prospect, could be ready to come up and play shortstop. That's what I would do. They're not going to do it. And I really don't feel like wasting my time yelling about it because they're not going to do it. Bill in Bay Ridge. What's up, Bill?
Chris, hey, I love Bill. You.
Excuse me?
We agree on most of all things. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Chris? Yeah. Did you just start the conversation with I love you?
Yes, I love you.
I love you too. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Okay, it just caught me off guard. It was very direct. It was very monotone and matter of fact. So I just wanted to make sure that's what you said.
I'm sorry. That is what I said.
Okay. Love you
like,
too.
Big bro. Fan.
Thank you.
Big fan. So I want to challenge you on one thing. The best contract in sports ever.
Yes.
Right? Shohei.
Shohei Ohtani, yep.
Yes. What about the contract for Scottie Pippen?
Huh. That's funny. It's obviously a well-known, excellent contract that Scottie Pippen eventually got, you know, fed up with. I don't think as what clearly happened with the Bulls, right? I mean, it didn't allow them. Eventually, it became a problem for them. And it's not like it saved them so much money. And again, the sport is different. But it's not like it saved them so much money where they wouldn't break up the core or that, you know. And plus, they didn't really have to give him the contract until, like, he almost immediately came in and paired up with Jordan and they won right away. But you're right. He signed a long-term deal at extremely team-friendly money, and it became a real problem for him and the team by the end of it. And he was one of the best players in the NBA getting paid like the sixth man. So, yeah, that's a great contract. That's a good one. But it's not so much the value. The reason I say Ohtani's contract is the greatest in the history of sports isn't because only, part of it is, but it's not only because of the value that they are getting for the money they are giving as far as just on the team. That's not the only reason. It's one of, because they're literally paying him. Like, and people seem to be confused by this. Let's just real quick understand what the Shohei Ohtani contract is. All right? If we care all that much. He signed a $700 million deal for 10 years, right? That's what he signed. He is not getting $70 million a year. He is getting two, right? He is getting $2 million a year. That's it. Now, on the books, as far as what the payroll says and what they're, for the luxury tax purposes, so what they're taxed on, that number is around 46. But they're not writing a check for 70. They're not writing a check for 46. They're actually writing a check for $2 million. Yes, it counts as 46 on the payroll. That overall number for every threshold they go past in the luxury tax gets taxed. And so for tax purposes, he's making $46 million, which does cost them some money because that ups the payroll, ups the tax rate, ups what they have to give in revenue sharing. So I understand that. But the actual check that they pay Shohei Ohtani is $2 million. The game check is $2 million divided by 162. That's it. They take the other $68 million that they agreed to pay him, and they put it in the bank, in an IRA or whatever. I am not a banker, nor do I know that. But they put it into account where it accrues interest. They are making money on the $68 million they don't have to pay him. Then he makes somewhere around $60 to $80 million through the Japanese market and the cultural market and everything else. Like, he makes them money. He makes them money. And he's a world-class recruiter where everybody now wants to, everybody from Japan wants to come play with their buddy. And it's not just money, because their closer literally could have gotten, could only get paid so much, and every team in baseball could afford it. He chose, Sasaki chose to come to the Dodgers because Yamamoto and Ohtani were already there. And Yamamoto came to the Dodgers because Ohtani was there. So he literally is the best player in baseball when he pitches. He's won back-to-back MVPs for them. Back-to-back MVPs. And back-to-back World Series. He gets paid $2 million. They make $68 million, 8% interest. Makes $70 million because he's an international superstar. And the World Series MVP came over because he wanted to play with his buddy. Like, you can't. That is the greatest contract in the history of sports.
And Yamamoto won the MVP.
So that's like what I'm saying. Yamamoto won the World Series MVP. And the reason he's there is because he wanted to play with his buddy Ohtani. Like, it is so far and away. And that's why they're doing this. And I'm telling you, this is, and it's not, and a caller mentioned this the other day. The Dodgers weren't like this. The Dodgers weren't like this. The Dodgers, sure, they had Freddie Freeman. Yes, they traded for Mookie Betts. Yes, they won one championship. Yet they went to a couple other World Series and lost. Yeah, but think of the players they lost. Seager left and someone gave him more money. Turner Seager went to the Texas Rangers. They paid him more money than the Dodgers were willing to pay him. Turner, who was, when he left, the best shortstop in the game, went to Philadelphia. They paid him more money. Like, they didn't do this. They recognized that this contract under the current CBA and the way they could handle the deferred money gave them an ability to become a super team, and they are taking advantage of it. And they know they have a 3-year window to try and win 3 championships before maybe they're going to be held to the carpet and not be able to do this anymore. And that's why they're going out and signing everybody. And that's why every year they get the best bullpen arm. And that's why they went out and got Edwin Diaz. Because they understand that right now they have an advantage that no other team has. One, they're filthy rich. And two, they have an advantage that nobody else has. And they're going to try and championship chase until they no longer have that advantage. And I wouldn't be surprised if after the new CBA, they handle things differently.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.